Well, every so often I will I'll find myself subconsciously lying to myself about what's going on the inside, what's going on internally in my life. And it's not like I do it intentionally. It's just there are times where I'm not really fully self-aware enough to understand the effect that some of the stress and the pressures and the curves, just the bumps of day-to-day life that they're having on me. I'm not always self-aware enough to pick up on the fears, the hurts, the frustrations that I'm experiencing. So if you were to run into me and you were to ask me, you know, Paul, how are things going at that point in my life, I would probably say, you know, it's good. Everything's great. You know, I'm busy. I've got things that I'm dealing with, things on my mind and all that kind of stuff, but everything is going really good. But in reality, what may be going on is that I've got all kinds of little things that are happening in my life. They're kind of piling up. None of those things are necessarily any big, huge thing. In fact, they may be so small that I don't even realize they're having that much of an effect on me. But the cumulative effect of all these little things that are going on in my life are creating stress. They're pushing fear buttons at times in my life. I mean, it may be that my schedule isn't really coming together the way that I'd hoped that it would. Things are a little tight there, and so I begin to go into a little bit of a panic. It's not a huge panic, but a little bit of a panic. Am I going to get everything done, you know, this week that I need to get done? You know, it may be some little ache or pain that I've got. It's not enough to really go to the doctor. It's like, oh, what's this all about? Or maybe a car's making some strange noise, and I can't figure it out, and do I need to take it to the mechanic? Is something maybe I can figure out and try to fix, or is there may be something in our house that I need to get around to fixing that or dealing with that situation. And in the middle of all that, there may be some relationship where there's been a misunderstanding and there's some tension in that area of my life. Maybe my message hadn't come together that week. And the whole time, I keep pretending that everything is fine. But in reality, what's going on is these things, they're wearing me down, and it's creating stress in my life. There's fear, there's hurt, there's frustration that's creeping into my life. It's just so easy for us to fall into this. In fact, some of us, we fall into it, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. But anytime that we live our lives pretending that everything is fine on the inside when it really isn't, and we're deceiving ourselves. And there are other times where we'll acknowledge that something's going on, but we don't want to deal with it, and so we just play it off. We just kind of minimize that, which is another form of self-deception. You know, some of us, we have wounds, emotional wounds and baggage in our life that we just try to keep sweeping under the carpet, act like, oh, it's no big deal, it's not affecting my life. Some of us, we keep trying to convince ourselves that we're happy in our marriage, that we're happy on our job, that we're happy in this relationship. Some of us keep trying to pretend that this person in our life that's treating us a certain way, that really doesn't bother me, it really doesn't affect me, or we keep trying to convince ourselves that our just crazy pace of life, that we're fine with it. You know, it's just a temporary thing. I mean, that what we tell ourselves so much of the time is it's just a little season of my life, and then things will change. When the reality is, I mean, we've been living that way maybe for years in our life. Some of us, we keep trying to convince ourselves of, you know, just all kinds of things. We try to convince ourselves that our spiritual life is stronger than it really is. That everything is great and wonderful in my spiritual life. You know, I'm walking in the joy and the peace of the Lord. You know, praise God. But internally, what's really happening is that we're struggling. Now, a lot of times when we talk about lying, what comes to mind first is lying to others. But probably the most damaging and destructive form of lying is actually lying to ourselves. And that's probably who we lie to the most. And we lie to ourselves about our fears, our insecurities. Me, afraid, anxious, uptight, worried. You know, no, not me. I'm fine. I'm good. We lie to ourselves about our needs. I'm not tired. I'm not exhausted. I don't need a break. I can keep going. We lie to ourselves a lot of times about what we're feeling. We're not in tune with what we're feeling. I'm not sad. I'm not unhappy. I'm not lonely. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. You know, that didn't hurt me. What she said, that it's no big deal. We lie to ourselves a lot of times about our motives. And what most of us like to think is that our motives are just so pure, right? And so wonderful. You know, whatever it is that we're doing, and that's what we like to think. And yet the reality is a lot of times there's other junk that kind of gets mixed in to some of our motivations. Some of it's selfish, some of it's pride, some of it's ego. I mean, even at times we may put on some, you know, beautiful romantic dinner for this person that we care so much about. And, you know, most of the motives in that, they're good, right? I mean, at least we're pretty convinced that our motives are really good. But for some of us, and maybe even more so for guys, that there's a little extra motivation there. We're hoping that there's something else that happens a little later, that there's some action that we get a little later on, that there's some mixed motives. I mean, sometimes we deceive ourselves and we don't even realize that we're doing it. But when we quit deceiving ourselves and we quit pretending that everything is fine in our lives when it really isn't, what that does is that ignites our spiritual life and it goes moving us towards internal health and wholeness. Now, most of us, if not all of us, would say that we value honesty. We value personal honesty. We value it in ourselves. We value it for others. I mean, people need to be honest. They need to get real with themselves. You know, if you've got issues in your life, if there are frustrations or you have baggage in your life, you know, don't live in denial. You need to face that stuff. You need to get real. We need to be honest. But for a lot of us, the problem comes that we aren't always willing to do the hard work of dealing with stuff to get honest with ourselves. And part of the problem is that we live in a society that prioritizes performance and achievement, accomplishment, over honesty and integrity and character. And so a lot of us in day-to-day life, even though we would say that we value honesty and integrity in day-to-day life, we are more concerned about what people do than what people are. And we even live our lives actually more concerned about what we are accomplishing than what we are becoming as individuals. And so even though we would say, oh yeah, I need to get honest with myself, I need to deal with these things, a lot of times we are so busy doing things, we say, man, I'm busy, I've got to do this. And as long as we are performing, as long as we are accomplishing things, as long as we've got things to do and we're busy, you know, I'll get around to that sometime. At some point, we've got to decide whether we're going to continue to allow others to pressure us to keep doing all the things that we're doing, to keep living our lives in this performance mode, pretending that everything is fine, that we're fulfilled, that we're happy, or we're going to determine once and for all, no matter what it takes, I'm going to get honest with myself, and I'm going to begin to deal with some of this stuff in my life. I'm going to begin to deal with what's behind the stress that I keep feeling. What's behind this frustration that I have? What is it that's making me so miserable in my life? Because I want to go moving towards experiencing the joy and the peace that God wants me to live with in my life and in my relationships with others and in my relationship with God. You see, over and over and over in Scripture, God challenges us to pursue honesty, to pursue integrity. That's what He wants for our lives. And yet, for too many of us, even though we would give that lip service, oh yeah, I'm all about honesty, right? I mean, we'd all say that. I'm all about honesty. I'm all about integrity. And yet our lives are so busy, we're so caught up in pursuing performance and accomplishment and just getting things done, that we just kind of blow that off in our lives. But self-deception is a dead-end road. Now, we could look at all kinds of scriptures where God talks and challenges to live lives of integrity, lives of honesty. We don't have time to look at it all. But let me give you a couple of scriptures just as examples of what God has to say about this issue. Proverbs 12, 22. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. You don't need to look this one up. We're going to look up another passage of scripture here in just a little bit. It says, "The Lord detests," or God hates, "lying lips, but he delights and men who are truthful." And here's another one, Psalm 51, verse 6. Again, up here on the screen. It says, "Surely you," talking about God, "surely you, God, desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." You see, part of God's plan has always been for us to live in truth. It's part of his design for our joy and freedom. You see, anything that has to do with lying, deception, dishonesty towards others or towards ourselves is not from God. That's not what God has for us. So if we're going to live a life that God wants us to live, we're going to live lives of internal peace and joy and contentment, we have got to start getting honest with ourselves. Let me illustrate the importance of this way. Have you ever tried to run your car, turn your car over and run it without oil in it? Doesn't work very well, but here's what I want you to know. You can do it. You can. You may not realize that, but you can actually crank your car over with absolutely no oil in it, and it will start. Now, I don't know all there is to know at all about engines, but if you were to take a new engine apart, what you would find is you'd find, you know, pistons and shafts and all these different parts. They're designed to work perfectly together, and they were designed that way, to work in sync, to work perfectly, all these moving parts, but they're designed to work perfectly with oil. And as long as there's oil, there's this lubrication, then they just work so well together. But when you remove the oil, when there is no oil, the friction that is caused between these parts that were designed to work perfectly together and work so well in sync with each other, all of a sudden they begin to destroy each other. And the engine will end up locking up or burning up or both. Well, personal honesty is the oil for emotional, spiritual, and relational health and wholeness. And when we remove personal honesty, when we remove the oil of personal honesty from our lives, and we live in self-deception, eventually what begins to happen is things start falling apart. Personal honesty is the oil, it's the lubrication for emotional, spiritual, and relational health and wholeness in our life. Now, Scripture makes it very clear that in God's economy, honesty is huge. And so what I want to do today is I want to get real practical about this, and I want to look at what God has to say, his take on honesty and integrity, and then I want to look at it from the angle of what do we need to do? What should our response be to what God says about this issue? So if you have your Bible, if you would, go ahead and open it to Proverbs. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. It's right after Psalms. So if you let your Bible fall open, it'll usually fall open to the middle. Somewhere around the middle will be Psalms, and then you go to the right, and that's Proverbs. You get to Ecclesiastes, you've gone too far. So Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs is full of all kinds of just very, very practical day-to-day wisdom and insight for how to do life. And what we're going to find, this passage of Scripture, this section of Scripture that we're looking at today, are three things that we need to do if we're going to stop, we're going to stop the self-deception in our lives, and we're going to stop pretending that everything is fine when it really isn't. The first thing that we need to do is we need to get honest with ourselves, others, and God. We need to get honest with ourselves, others, and God. Now, that all starts actually with us getting honest with ourselves. Now, you might think it would be with God, but the truth is God knows anyway. Okay, you can lie to God all you want. You can pretend that your life is whatever you can pretend. But God knows. When you're frustrated, God knows. I mean, you might as well be honest with him because he knows. You're miserable, he knows. You're stressed out, he knows. But we're not always aware and honest with ourselves. And so where it all starts, really, is with ourselves. We can't be honest with God. We can't be honest with anybody else until we start getting honest with ourselves. So when you get honest with ourselves, so then in turn, we can get honest with others. And look at what the scripture says. Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. It says, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Now, as soon as that word abhors right there is not your basic Hebrew word, which is what this was written in originally. It's not your basic Hebrew word for, you know, God doesn't like it. The idea behind this word abhors is a gut-wrenching hatred. And so what it's saying here, what it's getting at, is that God has a gut-wrenching hatred for dishonesty. Now, a lot of us, we're okay with a little dishonesty, at least, if it benefits us, right? I mean, you know, it talks about scales here. We're okay with dishonest scales. I mean, kind of a different kind of scales, but we're okay with that, right? I mean, if you go into a store and you find some scales and you step on them and whoa, you weigh 10 pounds less than you typically do. I want these scales. these are the kind of scales you like, right? And we'll take the others, we'll put them in the basement. These are good scales right here. I mean, if they benefit me to make it look like I weigh less than I do, I mean, this is a good thing. We like him. We're okay so many with dishonesty, at least to some degree, as long as it benefits us. What it's getting at here is God is not that way. Now, the scales that they're actually talking about here that they used back then, they look more like this right here. We have a picture of something similar to what they would have used. And so what a merchant would do is he would put a weight on one of these scales on one side, and then whatever it was that he was trading for or selling, he would put that amount on the other side. But a dishonest merchant would take advantage of people, and they would get a weight that weighed less than it was supposed to that might be hollow or something on the inside, but didn't weigh as much as people were intending for it to or expecting it to, and then they would fill up the other side, and when it balanced, they would give it to them, but they would be ripping them off. They weren't giving them what they really needed to have been giving them. And the Bible says God abhors that. God abhors that kind of behavior. What it's getting at, and this is what we need to understand, God can't stand dishonesty. Dishonesty towards others or dishonesty towards ourselves. And then look at the flip side of this verse. This is neat. It goes on and says, but accurate weights are his delight. Now, you know what that means? I mean, it's really quite the word picture here. What happens when there's somebody, when you see somebody that you delight in? I mean, like you're at the office or you're at home and somebody comes walking down the hall and it's somebody, hopefully it's somebody that you're supposed to be delighting in, okay? But when you see somebody that you delight in, what happens? Your whole look changes. It's like you light up. You're energized when you see somebody that you delight in. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be great to think that God delights in you? Because a lot of us, I mean, we don't even really think God likes us. I mean, you know, we know that in a general sort of way, God loves us, right? I mean, you know, he died on the cross. He's allowed his son to come into the world to die on the cross because he loves the whole world. And so in that general sense, we have the sense that God loves us, but we're not so sure that he really likes us. We certainly don't feel like we're one of his favorites. But what Scripture indicates is as you become a man or a woman of integrity with yourself and others, and as you're committed to being honest, even when you don't have to be honest, when you're honest, when there's nobody else there, I mean, it's just like you and God, when you're committed to being honest, even when it costs you financially, when this is true about you, the Bible paints the picture of God kind of lighting up. It's like his face changes. He delights in the man or the woman who is honest when they don't have to be honest. I see, as God delights in honesty. And it's that personal honesty that is the oil, is a lubricant for emotional and spiritual and relational health and wholeness. So, number one, we need to get honest with ourselves. That's where it begins. We need to get honest with ourselves about what's going on internally. And then we can be honest with others. Then we can be honest with God. So we need to get honest with ourselves, with others, and with God. And the second thing that we need to do, if we're going to stop the self-deception and we're going to stop pretending that everything is fine, is we need to pursue humility. We need to pursue humility, which isn't exactly, you know, just real easy to do, because if we think that we've arrived when it comes to humility and letting go of pride and ego, if we think we've arrived, that's a pretty sure sign that we haven't. Look at what it says. It goes on in verse 2, Proverbs 11 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With pride, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. See, pride causes us to keep pretending that whatever we're facing, it's not going to affect us. Pride causes us to think that we can handle it. You know, I don't need to work through my anger. I don't need to figure out why I'm short these purposes. I just keep going. Just keep doing whatever you're doing. But there are always consequences to pride. But when we're humble, God gives us wisdom. What it's saying is, with wisdom, with humility, comes wisdom. God rewards humility. God rewards those who are honest enough with themselves to admit that they don't have everything figured out. God rewards the person who is honest and humble enough to ask God for advice and guidance and strength to address the unhealthy patterns that need to be addressed in their life. Now, let me just say something. We probably don't even really need to say this, but you want wisdom. You want to be wise. And you may not have consciously thought about that, but even without raising your hand, I mean, you want to be wise. You do. I mean, who wants to make wise decisions relationally? I mean, we all do, don't we? I want to make wise decisions relationally. Who wants to make wise decisions financially? Who wants to make wise decisions when it comes to our schedule and the pace of our life? Who wants to make wise decisions when it comes to our fears and the hurts in our life so they don't just fester and we just blow up and lose it with somebody? Who wants to make wise decisions when it comes to handling stress, when it comes to our career, when it comes to school? I mean, you can just add on any category. We all want to make wise decisions. I mean, we would love to get kind of an inside track on great decision making, wouldn't we? And God says, let me tell you who I give wisdom to. He says, I give wisdom to the humble. That's who I give wisdom to. So we need to pursue humility. Look at this passage of scripture. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Let's just pause right there. Because just that little statement right there, that takes being honest with ourselves. Because so much of what we do to look good. We do to impress others with what we've done. We do it to get people's attention, to feel significant about ourselves. I mean, so much of our lives, if we would just get honest with ourselves, so much of our life is driven by pride and ego. So we need to get honest with ourselves about our inner motivations. Just do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. In verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, it assumes that we're going to look out for our own interests. We're going to meet our own needs and take care of ourselves. It says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You see, the best way to live our lives is always modeling our lives after Jesus. And this is how Jesus lived. Now, you know what humility is? Humility is getting honest with ourselves about our dependence on God. What humility is all about is acknowledging that I need God. It's submitting to God and His plan for our lives. Isn't it saying, God, you're God, and I'm not, And I'm good with that. I don't need to be God. I don't need to try to play God. God, I realize that I need you. I want you to be God in my life. Your will be done, not mine. That's what humility is about. It's getting honest about our dependence, our need for God. It's an inside thing. And God says in this passage of scripture, he's saying, I am so into that, that I will reward humility with wisdom. I'll reward humility in your life with wisdom. So, do you want to be a good decision maker? It's simple. Become humble. Get honest with yourself and say, God, I need you. Help me to deal with my fears and my feelings and motives in a healthy way that honors you and honors others in my life. And as you move towards humility, he will reward you with wisdom. Isn't that amazing? He rewards you with wisdom. So, we need to get honest with ourselves. We need to pursue humility. But then the third thing, there's another thing we see in this text that we need to do. If we're going to stop the self-deception and we're going to stop pretending that everything is fine when it really isn't, and that is number three, that we need to act in alignment with integrity. We need to act in alignment with integrity. This is so great. This is so important right here. It goes on in verse 3 and says, the integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. And look at the first part of that verse right there. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them. You know what I get asked more than probably any other question as a pastor? I mean, it comes in all different flavors, the question does. People ask a lot of different ways. But the question is still, in essence, the same question. What I get asked over and over is, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know? How do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I know? You know, I'm dating her, but how do I know that she's the one? How do I know that he's the one? Do I take this job or do I not take it? And do I keep working these crazy hours that I've been working to provide for my family so we can get this new house and all that? Or do I cut back on my schedule so I can spend more time with my family? What do I do? What does God want me to do in that situation? Do I stay or do I go? Do I say yes or do I say no? And you know what we've done as Christians so much of the time is we have turned this into, you know, such a mystical thing. And what we've done, a lot of times we say, okay, here's what you need. You want to know what God wants you to do in your life? You get real still. And get real quiet. Real quiet. And you got to close your eyes and say, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. So real quiet. Real quiet. Whoa, we're waiting on a thought. And it's like, well, it can't be that thought. That can't be it. Let me do this again. Let me try it again. Get real still, real quiet. Whoa, I don't think it's that. And the reason we know it's not that thought, because boy, that thought has nothing to do with God. Okay, that isn't it. Let me make this a lot easier for you. Okay, so much of the time, this is what's going to help you. You want to know what God wants you to do. This is what you need to do. You focus on becoming a man or a woman of integrity. You focus on allowing God to develop your character to the point that you have the will to do what is right. You just focus on that. That's what you focus on. And through that integrity, God says, I will guide you. And look at the verse. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them. That's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on becoming individuals, men and women of integrity. Because as we become individuals of integrity, God will guide you. Let me tell you what I've noticed. Men and women of integrity and character, what I've noticed is they just tend to have a much easier time making decisions. Men and women of integrity tend to be great at making decisions. They tend to be great decision makers. And they don't struggle like so many other people do, because 9 out of 10 times, God's will is found through the pursuit of integrity. You just do what's right. You just do what's right. You do what's right. And so much of the time, that's the decision right there. You just do what's right. God says, I don't care whether you buy a white car or a blue car, striped car, polka-dotted car. I don't care. What I really care about is what's going on inside of you. That's what I really care about. And if you'll work with me on developing your inside, then generally, all the other things, they'll take care of themselves. Just get honest with yourself and do what's right. Get honest with yourself and do what's right. But if we're going to get that kind of guidance, we've got to come to a place in our life where we determine that that's how we're going to live. We're going to say, God, I just want to do what's right. God, I just want to do what's right, even if it costs me. I don't want to lie to myself or you about my motives. I don't want to rationalize things away and just do what's comfortable or what's convenient or what others are doing or what others want me to do, what the expectations are of me. I don't want to live that way. I just want to do what's right. I want to do what's right, even if she leaves me. I want to do what's right, even if it costs me. I want to do what's right, even if everybody laughs at me. Even if it means I stay right here. I want to do what's right, even if I don't get that job. I want to do what's right, even if it means saying no to that opportunity I thought was such an amazing opportunity. I don't want to pretend that I've got it all together when I don't. I don't want to try to impress other people. God, I just want to do what's right. I want to be a man or a woman who has the will to do what is right as you define what is right. Not as I define it, not as my friends define it, or anybody else defines it. God, I want to be a person who has the will to do what is right as you define what is right, regardless of the cost. I want you to wrap up, but so many of us, we are living our lives internally so stressed and miserable and frustrated. And a lot of us, we have no idea really why. Because we've never slowed down the pace of our life long enough to figure it out. We just keep going and going, trying to accomplish all these things. Our life is more focused on what we're doing than it is on what we're becoming. And at some point, we have got to slow down and we've got to stop the self-deception. We've got to get honest with ourselves. And we've got to take the time to figure out, why is it that I'm so miserable? Why is it that I'm so stressed? Why is it that I'm so frustrated? And as we begin to get clarity on it, with God's help, we begin to work on that and change it. Some of us keep trying to convince ourselves that we're not unhappy, that we're not sad, that we're not lonely, that we're not angry. We don't want to acknowledge. We don't take the time to figure out what our feelings are, what's going on inside. We need to get honest with ourselves. We need to come clean with God. And as we do, and with His help, we can begin to process through things, and things can be different. But it takes doing the right thing. Some of us have been trying to convince ourselves that we don't have a problem with our thought life. Some of us have been trying to convince ourselves that we don't have a problem with drinking. Some of us have been trying to convince ourselves that we don't have a problem with anger, with our temper. It's not what anybody else thinks in our life, but we keep trying to convince ourselves that it's no big deal. When we come clean, when we get honest with ourselves, we can start dealing with that in our life, and things can change with God's help, but we've got to do what's right. Some of us have been holding on to bitterness, resentment, for so long. I mean, maybe somebody hurt you 6 months ago, maybe it was 5 years ago, maybe it was further back than that. And you've been holding on to this bitterness and resentment the whole time, pretending, trying to convince yourself that it doesn't affect you. It's not that big of a deal. What we need to understand is that bitterness is like a poison that infects us. And it takes hold in our life. And if we don't deal with it appropriately, and we don't forgive, and we don't replace that bitterness and that resentment with God's love, then that poison is going to infect us. And eventually, we're going to spew that poison out, typically in anger, onto the people in our lives that we care about that are right around us. But it doesn't have to be that way. Some of us are struggling in our marriage or in some other relationship, and we keep trying to convince ourselves that it's all their fault. It's all his fault. It's all her. If they would just change, if they would just do this different, if they would just start doing this, then everything would be okay, right? I mean, the relationship would be great. If they would just whatever. It's all their fault. And we keep trying to convince ourselves of that. And you know what? It may be all... No, it's not. I can't even say, it's not all their fault, but let's say it's mostly their fault, okay? Very, 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 very seldom is it all their fault. Yeah, let's say it's 70% their fault. Or let's go even further, it's 90%. Probably isn't, but I'll even go 95, okay? Let's say it's 95% their fault. Guess what? It really doesn't matter because you can't do anything about changing them. You can't change another person. You can't. The only person you can change with God's help is you. The only person I can change is me. And so instead of continuing to focus on them and, oh, they need to change, what we need to do is we need to get honest with ourselves about our 30% or our 10% or our little 5%, whatever it is, we need to get honest with ourselves about our part and begin to deal with our stuff and do what is right in our lives, internally, with ourselves. We've got to pursue honesty with ourselves and do what's right. Now, I want to finish by teaching you a little prayer that I want to encourage all of us to pray this week, every day this week. I want to encourage you to pray. So you can write this down there on your outline. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. This is how the prayer wrote: Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what is right, even in these areas where I've been pretending everything is fine. Even in these areas where I've been deceiving myself, living in self-deception and all that. But even in those areas, God, I don't do what's right. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right, even in these areas where I've been pretending everything is fine. Would you read that with me? Let's do it all together, aloud. Lord, give me the wisdom to... Well, let's start over here. You're about halfway there. Okay, here we go. Ready? Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right, even in these areas where I've been pretending everything is fine. One more time. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right, even in these areas where I've been pretending everything is fine. And He will. You see, as we begin to get honest with ourselves about these areas that we are struggling in our lives, these areas that we've been frustrated in, these areas where there's been stress, we've been miserable. When we begin to get honest with ourselves about these areas that we're struggling with, God will ignite the will and the courage in us to do what's right. That personal honesty is the oil for emotional, spiritual, and relational health and wholeness. So what we've got to do is we've got to pursue honesty. We've got to get honest with ourselves. Say, God, give me the wisdom I need to know what is right. And give me the courage to do what is right. Would you bow your heads with me? Why don't you just take a moment to just pray this prayer. Just in your heart, just pray to God and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right. In this area of my life that I've been struggling, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right. And give me the courage that I need to do what's right. Even in this area that I've been pretending everything is fine in this area that I've been deceiving myself, God, help us to get honest with ourselves. And Lord, there may be some here who have been living in denial, deceiving themselves, trying to convince themselves that they don't need you, pretending that everything is fine in their life without you. That maybe today in your life you've realized that it isn't. And that's my prayer, God, that today we would get honest with ourselves and individuals that are here that have been trying to do life on their own, that they would realize that they do need you. They'd be willing to humble themselves before you, to establish a relationship with you. And if that's you, right where you are, you could pray and say, God, I am tired trying to do life on my own, pretending that I don't need you, that I can call the shots. All I've done is mess up my life. God, today I want to turn to you. I want you to be the Savior, the forgiver, the leader of my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to walk in step with you. Lord, give us the determination to get honest with ourselves and get honest with others, get honest with you. God, help us to pursue humility and to experience your wisdom. And I pray that you would help us to act in alignment with integrity. Give us the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right in our lives. Help us to deal with the stuff inside and not to just keep pushing off and pretending that everything is fine. But God, with your help, to go moving towards wholeness and the health that you want for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.